Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the altogether lovely name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We come with gladness of heart to continue the subject that we have in our daily study this week concerning the privileges that the Father gives to His children who are in the family. My beloved radio friend, it is with deep earnestness that I ask, do you belong into the family of the Father above? Are you a child of God? I know not what might be your earthly relationship in regard to the family. Neither do I know whether you are happy or whether you are unhappy in relation to your earthly family. But may I encourage everyone who may be listening to my voice today, you can never be in a better family than when you come into the family of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven that He might bring the children into the family of God. He went to the cross of Calvary. He laid down His blessed life. He shed His precious blood. He paid the atoning price to put away your sin and mine. He bore the judgment of the cross and the judgment of a righteous and holy God, that by faith in Christ and His shed blood, you and I can be children of God. My beloved, may I say, when all the families of the earth will have passed away and their earthly relationships gone forever, God is going to have a family of children that will be with Him and be like Him and before Him, holy and before Him in love forevermore. I beg of you to consider, if never you have, how can I get into the family of God and seek the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can bring you to that Father? For He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. We consider the consideration of our subject, our Heavenly Father's care for His children. We would read again from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm going to read, if I may, from verse 22, going down through verse 28. And Jesus said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment or clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take an anxious thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? May God bless the reading of His precious word. Let us again consider the precious fact. The Father's care for His children. Let me repeat again, His children, the Father cares for them even in their material needs, as we have read, of food as well as clothing. Oh, as we think of the Lord saying, God feedeth the ravens, I'm reminded of a nice hymn, an old hymn, where the poet has written, in tender compassion and wonderful love, the Father looks down from on high. He knoweth the raven hath need of its food, and heareth in mercy its cry. The raven He feedeth, then why should I fear? To the heart of the Father His children are dear. So if the way darkens, or storms gather o'er, I'll simply look upward and trust Him the more. Now in our scripture that we have read, the Lord not only said that the Father is able to provide food, but also raiment and clothing. Can this be true? The 22nd verse of our reading declared that we can not only be anxious about food, we may also be anxious about what shall we wear. Is there over anxiety in this? There should never be. When God is our Heavenly Father, and we are His children, and in happy fellowship with Him. Now I wish you to note with me the Savior's lesson on this problem of clothing. In verses 27 and 28, note the Savior's words. When we think of being clothed, He tells His disciples, His own, consider the lilies. Learn a lesson from the lilies. How they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow it is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? My beloved child of God, if you are over anxious about this matter of what you shall wear, may I note with you carefully the closing words of our Lord Jesus in this 28th verse. O ye of little faith! My beloved child of God, I'm going to ask you, how much can you trust your Savior? How much do you trust your Heavenly Father? This is a challenge. This is a responsibility. And this is a privilege, that you and I can trust the Father, not only for food, but also for clothing. The Lord Jesus speaks of Solomon, and as far as we can ascertain from the Word of God, he may have been the richest king of all time. Well, if he was the richest king, what a wardrobe of clothing he must have had. How many gorgeous raiments of apparel he undoubtedly possessed. And what super quality of material they must have been made of. But however, no matter how many suits of clothing he may have possessed, there's one satisfaction that you and I may get. He could only wear one suit at a time. And it matters not how much clothing, how many suits, how much clothing or dresses a person may have. One sure fact, they can only put one on at a time. But the Savior minimizes. He lightly speaks of Solomon's splendor and of his glory by declaring that the lilies of the field, they were far more beautiful to look upon, being clothed with God's power without even bending any effort. Who clothed those lilies? Who gave them their beauty? Who gave them their splendor? Who gives to all nature His beauty and His splendor, His clothing and His provision? You know who does that. My beloved, may I remind you of something? If you are a child of God together with me, you and I can say, my Father owns everything. Oh, yes. Dear old brother George Muller of past decades, a lovely brother, a man of faith who proved that God answered prayer and provided food as well as clothing, not only for himself, but for 2,500 orphan children. While riding through the countryside in England on one occasion, and the beauty of the countryside was being admired by a fellow passenger that was seated next to him, and as that fellow passenger declared the beauty of the country and the beauty of the fields through which they were traveling, dear old brother Muller looked at the man and he said, my Father owns it all. And beloved, may I say, I may not have an earthly title deed to much real estate here upon the earth, but I'm going to tell you something. My Father owns it all. Said the psalmist, in fact God said to the psalmist, the cattle upon a thousand hills, they belong to me. And so when you and I realize that if God can provide and if he can fully clothe the very realm of nature, then Could we ever doubt his willingness as well as his power to furnish his servants, his children, with their temporal need of clothing? The Christian should be ashamed if ever we are anxious about these things, for know what the Lord goes on to say in the 30th verse of this chapter in Luke 12. For all these things do the heathen, or the nations of the world, seek after. This is what the nations are after. They want to own everything. They want to be over-anxious about getting all they can, whether it's food or raiment or any material things like. And yet they are in colossal ignorance and know nothing as to who God is and what he is. But if I'm a child of God, now listen to this very carefully. If I am a child of God, I can, and I do say, God is my heavenly Father. I say of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is my Savior. And in the conversation the Lord Jesus said to his disciples on this occasion, he declared, your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Now that ought to be enough for you and me, my fellow believer. He can take care of me in whatever way he sees fit, and according to what he knows will be good for my soul. Like the psalmist, think of those wonderful words we often quote from Psalm 23. But the true child of God can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, did a little child express it, not being able to remember all the words, but she said, the Lord is my shepherd, I should worry. Oh, my beloved, let me state, it's the word of God. In the midst of deprivation, in the days of inflation, name whatever condition you might, it is the Christian who can show a cheerful spirit and reveal to the world the blessed truth. He or she has a heavenly Father and a wonderful Savior. My beloved, it may be true that we're on the threshold of the fact that we who are Christians can commend to the world around us in the days of inflation and difficulty and danger and sorrow and grief and trial, we have a heavenly Father, and he knows our need. Oh, blessed Father, may this truth be lived out by we who are thy children, in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen.